All right, tonight if you'll take your Bibles and let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. Matthew, chapter number 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3, and we're going to begin reading verse 13. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John," talking about John the Baptist, "to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We began last week talking about how that, you know, Jesus is our example. Now, he came primarily to give his life for our sins on the cross of Calvary, but he also came to give us an example to walk in his steps. And we mentioned that the world had a way of dealing with that a few years back. The big thing, big craze was, what would Jesus do? And instead of looking at what would Jesus do, we're saying, well, what did Jesus do? And we're taking a look at those things. And last week we saw that Jesus grew. And as a young man, he grew and here we find that he is about to embark on his ministry. And before he embarks on the ministry, we see two major things that happen. And one of those is right here, is baptism. And this passage of Scripture given us in Matthew's account of the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist, understand that after years of silence in Nazareth, Jesus appeared among those who were listening to John's preaching, and he presented himself as a candidate for baptism. Only Matthew records that John's had an opposition to doing that. He records there, verse 14, that John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Now, John recognized that Jesus did not fit the requirement for his baptism, since his baptism was a baptism of repentance, and Jesus, being the Son of God, had nothing to repent of. There was no repentance needed for him. He had never sinned, so he could not officially be entering into John's baptism, even though he was seeking to be baptized by John. Some feel that Jesus was confessing the sins of the nation, such as Moses did and Ezra and Daniel had done on previous occasions. The only explanation that is offered as to why Jesus desired to be baptized comes from verse 15. When Jesus was convincing John to go ahead and baptize him, he said there, in the latter part of verse 15, "For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." So, what did Jesus exactly mean by that? I want us to take a look at this tonight. We know that Jesus has a desire for those of us that belong to him, for us to follow him in believers' baptism. Now, our baptism is different than his baptism. His baptism we're going to talk about, but as he gave the Great Commission, part of the Great Commission is not only sharing the gospel of Christ with a lost and dying world, but also when they believe the gospel, to baptize them. When we take someone and put them in the baptistry, we take and put them underneath the water and bring them back up. It is a picture, an outward picture of what happens on the inside. They are identifying with Jesus Christ, and we're buried with him in baptism. It's identifying in his death and burial. And we're raised to walk in newness of life. You go down one way, you come up another way. Amen. Go down dry, we come up wet. And we basically, when we're in Christ Jesus, when we believe on Him, we were lost in our sins, and we have a whole new life now. We have been received His resurrection life, which is a wonderful life to have. And that's our baptism. And the Lord would desire for those of us that have been saved, and we'll talk more about this at the end of the message, but if you are saved, if you've been saved, have you been baptized since you've been saved? And if not, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That is something the Lord desires for you to do. And if you want to obey the Lord, if you want to fully obey the Lord, you need to properly be baptized. And that is by immersion. And it is after you get saved, after you come to know the Lord as your Savior. But let's take a look at what Jesus meant by fulfill all righteousness here. First of all, it meant that Jesus was fulfilling the requirements to begin His office as priest. You know that Jesus holds all three offices of prophet, priest, and king. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a prophet. He came telling, he told folks, he said, look, you know, they're going to take me to the cross. They're going to nail me on the cross, and they're going to bury me in the grave. 3 days later, I'm going to get up. He said, they can't take my life from me. I'm freely giving my life. I give my life, and what I give up, I can take it back up again. And he did that. And that's how we got salvation, amen? He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that we might be able to receive his salvation. But that's as prophet, he prophesied what would happen and prophesied of his second coming also. But here we see he was beginning his office also as priest. The Levitical law required all priests to be consecrated when they were 30 years of age. Jesus was about 30 years of age, according to Luke 3:23, when he was baptized and began his earthly ministry. I want you to take and hold your place there in Matthew and flip with me to Exodus in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 29. Exodus 29, because we see the consecration here for the office of priest was threefold. There was the washing with water, which was a ceremonial cleansing. There was the clothing with garments, and there was the anointing with oil. And we want to see these and see how these apply in the Lord Jesus Christ as He takes up the office of priest here. We see first of all, in Exodus 29, verse number 4, we see the washing with water, which was a ceremonial cleansing. It says, "And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water." Now, the baptism of Jesus identified him with this ceremonial cleansing as our great High Priest. And he still serves in that capacity for us today. He is our great High Priest who has passed into the heavens, and he is our go-between between us and the Heavenly Father. And what a wonderful thing. It's by His priesthood, His everlasting priesthood, His great High Priesthood on our behalf that we have the ability to go to the Lord in prayer, have the ability to take our petitions to our Heavenly Father. It's through Jesus Christ that we do that. We see not only the ceremony and cleansing, but we see the clothing with garments, verse number 5 and 6. It says in verse 5, "And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird them with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre." Now this was a glorious set of garments that they were clothed in as the priests who would minister before the Lord. And The glorious garments of the Levitical priesthood actually spoke of the glorious clothing of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would be clothed in righteousness. Jesus is clothed in righteousness. Always has been. Always will be. Jesus was clothed in righteousness from His birth. And then we see the anointing with oil there in verse number 7. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. Now, understand that an anointing with oil took place with prophets, priests, and kings who were all anointed. And the oil was a symbol of the Holy Spirit who in our passage of Scripture we saw descended upon Jesus like a dove and lighting upon him. Now, this was the priestly anointing of the one who would not only be a priest by divine appointment, but an eternal priest, according to Psalm 110 and verse number 4, which says this, says, "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, we don't have time to develop the thought of what the order of Melchizedek is tonight. I preached on it before, dealt with it before, but we know that there's some special things with regard to that. But what I want you to see, though, is our Lord was to be the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And thus he was divinely consecrated for the work of redemption. Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And so it meant that Jesus was fulfilling, when Jesus was baptized, it meant that he was fulfilling the requirements to begin his office as priest. Second thing we see is that it meant that Jesus was identifying with the preaching of John the Baptist. He was identifying with the preaching of John the Baptist. Well, what was the preaching of John the Baptist? Back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 and then skip down and read verses 5 through 12. Look at verse 1. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I want to pause right here. Understand that John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus Christ, born before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to point men to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, verse number 3 said, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So before the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry, John the Baptist was to come along and preach that folks needed to get ready, that Jesus was coming. The first time, Jesus was coming. Listen, my job today is to say, hey, look, folks, Jesus is coming. You better get ready. But he's coming the second time, amen. He's already come the first time. He's coming again, and we need to prepare. But we see also, look down in verse number 5, it says, "Then went out all out to him, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. And therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me," talking about Jesus, "is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And notice the next words, then cometh Jesus. Right after John the Baptist preached that message, Jesus shows up and says, I need you to baptize me, John. And so we see here, John the Baptist's message, what we notice here was repent. Though Jesus had no need to repent himself, he identified himself with the message of John. In fact, Jesus' message when he began his ministry was also to men to repent. In Matthew 4, verse 17, says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Luke 13, and verse 3, Jesus also said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. Jesus' disciples also preached repentance. In Mark 6, verse 12, Jesus had sent them out, and he says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Peter's message on the day of Pentecost was that men needed to repent. Remember, Jesus had rose from the grave, showed himself alive after his passion for 40 days, walked among earth for 40 days, and he was raised up into heaven, ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he said, you guys get need to wait in Jerusalem for the gift. And, the Holy Ghost is going to descend upon you, but you need to wait in Jerusalem for that to take place. And when that took place in Acts chapter number 2, Peter began to preach. Amen. And what his message was, is folks needed to repent on the day of Pentecost. He said, then Peter said unto them in Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter's message remained the same. Later on in Acts 3, verse 19, you'll find him preaching again, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Then Paul also called on men to repent. Acts 17, verse 30 says, in the times of his ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And then I want you to notice Acts chapter 26. I'm going to have you turn here, Acts 26, talking about Paul's preaching. Remember, Paul was saved as he walked the Damascus road. He was going to try to arrest some Christians, and he was wanting to see them, do them harm. And he was struck blind on the Damascus road, and the Lord called him into the ministry. The Lord saved him, called him in the ministry, and here's what he was, the ministry that he was given. Look at Acts 26, and let's look at the verse 16. These are the words to Saul, who was then Saul. He changed his name to Paul later. But on the Damascus road, the Lord said, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and to those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they, here it is, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And so the message is repent. Amen. John the Baptist's message was repent. Jesus identified with that message, had his disciples also identify with that message. And Christ called on us, even some of the churches, to repent in Asia. Remember, after the Lord ascended on high, He appeared to John the Apostle in the book of Revelation and gave him the revelation there of what would happen in the end times. And part of that revelation, he appeared with messages to the seven churches in Asia. And there were several of those, there are actually four of those that he called on them to repent because they had some things going on. Yes, sometimes churches need to repent. Amen. And believers need to repent. If you walk in the wrong direction, you need to turn around, get going in the right direction. And he called on the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 in verse 4 and 5 to repent because they had left their first love. Well, what did they need to do? They needed to return to that first love of the Lord, the love that brought them to salvation, the love that was manifested to them on the cross of Calvary. They left that first love and they kind of began to do their own thing. The church at Pergamos in Revelation 2:16. They had the problem that false doctrine had crept in. Well, listen, when false doctrine comes in, what do you need to do? You need to turn from it, amen? That's repentance. That's what that is. And he called on them to repent. And then the church at Sardis in Revelation 3:3, it had a name that it lived but was dead. Well, listen, you got to turn away from that, don't you? You need to have a name that you live. So he called them to repent. And then the church at Laodicea, if you was with us last Wednesday night, we began taking a look at the church at Laodicea a little bit because the age that we live in right now could be called the Laodicean church age because a lot of the things that manifest itself in that church at Laodicea you see in the churches today, you see it manifest. There's a lot of denial about that, but you know that denial is actually in the church of Laodicea. They thought that they were one way, but they were another. And the Lord pointed that out to them. And you know what he told them they needed to do? I mean, they were lukewarm, church. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They thought they were rich, increased with goods, and had need of nothing. They didn't know that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, you need to repent. And they needed to repent. So there were four churches that the Lord called on to repent. So Jesus was, we know that Jesus was identifying with the preaching of John the Baptist because he also preached repentance. A third thing, not only did Jesus' baptism mean that he was fulfilling the requirements to begin his office as priest and identifying with the preaching of John the Baptist, but thirdly, it meant that Jesus was identifying with sinners. He was identifying with us. Look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. And we see the Lord sitting at meat with sinners. And the Pharisees had a problem with that. Look at Matthew 9, verse number 10. Says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, the Pharisees thought they were righteous, but theirs was a false righteousness. They were indeed sinners that needed to turn to the Lord, weren't they? Now, if Messiah was to provide righteousness for sinners, he had to identify with sinners. It was therefore in the will of God for him to be baptized by John in order to be identified with sinners. And, you know, part of the meaning of the word baptized is to identify with. Baptism means to dip or to immerse or to identify with. And when we talk about we dip and immerse up in the baptistry as our identification with Jesus. So it's all three right there. Amen. It's all three right there. But understand that he did not identify with our sin. Jesus did not identify with our sin. In fact, Hebrews 7, verse 26 says, "For such an high priest," talking about Jesus, "became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." He didn't partake of our sins, but he did identify with our humanity. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And I'm so glad that Jesus identified with us. And listen, he went to the cross for us, gave his life, gave himself. He became sin for us. I mean, that's how he identified with our sin. He became sin for us on the cross that we might have eternal life and have his salvation. A fourth thing here is it was John the Baptist's way of identifying that Jesus was the Son of God. Him baptizing Jesus and what happened there surrounding what the baptism of Jesus. Jesus' baptism was like unlike any other baptism that John performed. Turn with me to John's Gospel chapter 1 to see this. Okay? John chapter 1, John the Baptist tells us this in John 1 verse 32. John 1, and let's pick up in verse number 29. He's been baptizing beyond Jordan. And then verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He was pointing to Jesus. He says, "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Remember the preaching of John the Baptist that we saw in Matthew? He said, "He's preferred before me." Look at verse 31. He says, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same saith unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, after John stood and two of the disciples, and looking upon Jesus, he walked and he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." Twice here we see he's pointing to Jesus, said, "Behold the Lamb of God." But one significant thing about the baptism of Jesus was this authentication from heaven. It was unlike any time else that John the Baptist had baptized before. And as Jesus came up out of the water, the Spirit of God came down on him in the form of a dove. As he came up, dove came down. Okay? That's the picture you get. A voice from heaven, which is the voice of God the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There you got the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Godhead. You know, God repeated these words about Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration before Christ went to the cross? In Matthew's Gospel 17, verse 5, they're up on the mount. The inner three disciples, Peter, James, and John, went up on the mount with Jesus, and Jesus is transfigured before them. They get to see his glory, what his glory is going to be like after he ascends to the Heavenly Father. It's just a wonderful thing. And the Father said there, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Yeah, remember that? And so this here, the baptism, this verified for John that Jesus was, in fact, the Son of God. It was also in keeping with Isaiah's prophecy that the Spirit would rest on the Messiah. Isaiah 11 verse 2 says this, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him, came in the form of a dove, rested upon him. The descent of the Holy Spirit empowered the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, the Messiah, and his ministry there among the people of God. Let me ask tonight in closing, have you identified yourself with Christ? Okay? Are you saved? Do you know if you were to die right now, heaven would be your home? Christ became our high priest. He became our sacrifice. You know, the high priest would take the sacrifice, and he would take the blood and apply it to the altar where Jesus was the sacrifice, and he was the great high priest at the same time. Amen. And it was his own blood that he took. And so it all pictured, everything in the Old Testament regarding the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to Jesus. All of it pointed to Jesus. And he became our high priest, he became our sacrifice, and he is now our intercessor and our all in all. He has issued a call to repentance. Have you repented? What is it that you are depending upon to get you to heaven? If it's anything other than Jesus and Jesus alone, what he did on the cross of Calvary, you need to turn from that. You need to repent from that, trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation. Then, he wants us to not only repent, we confess to him. And the question is, have you been baptized since you were saved? Part of our confession that we have identified with Christ is our baptism. And it is really the first step in our obedience to Christ. You're really not going to move very far in your Christianity if you don't submit yourself to baptism. It's a matter of obedience. He calls on us to be baptized. Not for salvation, but because of our salvation. Okay? So have you been baptized since you were saved? Now, you may have been baptized before you were saved. In fact, I was one of those. I was baptized when I was 8 years old, but I wasn't saved. Okay? You know, that was through the error of some of the people in church that didn't make sure that I knew what they were talking about. I came down wanting to get saved. Nobody dealt with me. They put my name on a card, baptized me, and I became a member of the church. Lost as a goose. But when I got born again, when I was just about turned 15 years of age, not just before I turned 15, then I got baptized for real. Got dunked again, because then I was identifying with Christ. Amen. And if you want to read about that, Romans 6, verse 3 and 4 is a good place to read. It talks about how that we are buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And we know that we are called to be baptized according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, the great commission that the Lord gives. He's teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And one of the things that the Lord commanded was, hey, be baptized. Be baptized. So he's looking for us to bear the fruits as evidence of our changed lives. And what that very first fruit is, really, that you follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Do you really love him? Does your life show it? Are you living for him? Or maybe you're like the people that were at the church at Ephesus that the Lord had to get on to. Maybe you've left your first love and gone back to the ways of the world. Well, listen, good time as a believer to get back to where you need to be at. Amen. Get back to the Lord. I don't know how God spoke to your heart tonight, but if he's calling on you to do something, we're going to have a hymn of invitation here after I pray, and we're going to invite you to just be obedient to him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just